Well, thanks for the invitation. I'm Jeff Tanzig. 35 years ago, I started the journal Food Policy. I've worked on various agricultural projects, written a book on the food system, and most recently on the future control of food. And since 2006, I've been working to promote a fair and sustainable food system through the Joseph Rowntree Charitable Trust Visionary Award. And my bottom line issue is to reach the goals you've set for this inquiry, which is excellent. You can't do it by thinking within the terms of the food system without seeing major and radical change in the nature of economic system. I'd echo the words of the OECD Secretary General when he spoke about the financial system. We're in our current fix because of an excess of financial innovation driven by ever-increasing thirst for short-term profit. We now need to rewrite the rules of finance and global business. That rings true, right through, from food to our economics. You need to embrace the kind of views of Herman Daly on ecological economics and so on. So we have the wrong rules, the wrong institutions and the wrong incentives. I'm working now with others on looking at what the right ones are. I don't have the answer. Secondly, because there's a lot of answers, agriculture and food and farming is site-specific. It varies. People are the same all over the world. You can give them the same medicines and they react. Agriculture isn't. We have to look at what works locally and adapt and develop. Second thing, innovation. We need to rethink what this buzzword means. Everybody uses it. And Janice, I suspect, will talk from the ICED point of view about the kind of innovation we need in agriculture. I will talk about the way the innovation system has been captured in the interests of four global industries who've rewritten the rules of the world on intellectual property. And those rules are going to have a major impact on food security and biodiversity, and they're undermining it. They produce the wrong kinds of innovation, and they are concentrating power in a group of industries if and when they go belly up, will make the financial crisis look like a tea party. We have a model that needs complete rethinking. It affects biodiversity. Now, when we then thirdly come to think about what that means for Britain, it means that this inquiry, which is about food security, needs to think perhaps more about the terms that the developing country, peasants' organisations and others have been talking about, food sovereignty, because that takes into questions about power and processes and the quality of what is done and who has control over those. In terms of our own policies, I think it would actually begin to reframe where we see ourselves in Europe and the positions we take. One of your questions is about history and UK's role. The UK has an absolutely fundamental role in the structure of the global economy today and the food system. The commodity practices, why are they growing bananas in the Windward Islands? Why are the structures that we see? It's because of our history. We have a current responsibility because we still command the world through our economic power and our supermarkets. We do put the world in our mouths and we assume we have the right to do that. But that comes from a kind of social and political structure that is changing. If you had a group in this room in 1909 and said, what will it be in 40 years, which you've asked us to say, I don't think they'd have given you a correct answer. But all the elements of the 20th century, the technologies, the fading empires, the changing powers were there. We have those different elements today. The new technologies, the changing empires, the shifts, the geopolitical shifts in power, where R&D is being carried out, China and India and Brazil. It's a G20 meeting that's coming up. It's not a G7 meeting. There are big shifts. This world is fundamentally going to change, and it's going to change with major constraints we've never seen in terms of the climate change, which is the unintended consequences of the fossil fuel revolution that's driven our industrialization. And we cannot go and expect that we're going to reach 2050 with a well-fed world, with food that will continue to be available for 2100, when our grandchildren and their children will be there, if we think business as usual is the answer. It ain't. That's an illusion. The trouble is, how do we move from here to there? So I think that is where we have to go into really detailed stuff about different aspects of intellectual property rules, corporate, the nature of corporations. I really dislike your use of the term UK PLC. A PLC is an artificial creation with very narrow objectives. The country has very broad objectives. It seeks to balance a whole set of interests, and it doesn't have a narrow thing like that. And recognising that one planet living actually means changes in different parts of the planet. Some people need to consume more, some people need to consume less. And it means recognising that this debate on food security should be taking part alongside the debates you're having on other aspects of security in this building as we speak. Because real security comes from having systems that are ecologically smart, and that means a whole lot of new smart science, It doesn't mean, this is not an anti-science agenda. This is a very strongly science agenda, but it's a science agenda that's allied with the traditional and indigenous knowledge that's represented by farmers all around the world. They know their systems very well, and frankly, if there was a crunch tomorrow, they'd survive and we wouldn't. We're 3 days away. The snow, how close are some of the supermarkets to running out of stocks? We have a just-in-time system. We actually need to keep existing for a long time, in time. So it has to be small and peasant-focused and develop from there. We don't have the countervailing R&D to offer competitive models for small farmers. We are channeling them into having one choice, a monolithic and monocultural approach to agricultural development. We need to reject the model of R&D that's been put before us, which I think is one based on the pharmaceutical approach, privately led R&D, which will deliver products for which there's a market or for which you can be bribed to produce. That's public subsidies or different grants. We need models which are actually open system and sharing. In fact, the irony is agriculture is the most fundamentally open system, diverse innovation models we've had. Small farmers globally have done this and shared knowledge. And we're moving to a situation where that is being closed down. You can talk to John Sulston from the health side, you can talk to lots of others, or Rothenstedt, who were talking at the EFRA meeting.
We'll be talking later.
Right, okay. But there is a change, and so it's effectively saying, this is how do we switch from this fundamental wrong direction? My optimism point is, we know it can be done, because there's nothing fixed about food. What we eat can be very different. It's what it is now because of a particular history. And we're doing the things, institutions do the things they do because that's the rules of the game they play for. If you're playing football, you don't pick up the ball. If you're playing rugby, you do. If you run in the kind of economics that we have, then you do the kind of things you see happening. So we really have to be much clearer about the nature of the rules that we need to deliver the objectives you set in that goal. I think it can be done. I think it's a very challenging thing to do because it requires taking on vested interests and much less supine approaches of government the worldwide, and a collective operation and cooperation, recognising that cooperation, and we as a species, human species, have survived because we can cooperate. We cooperate at the same time as managing our competitive and other tendencies. That's the big picture stuff you're asking for. There you go, 5 minutes.
That was it. Yeah.